Movies On Up, most disappointing horror sequels. We dare you again. I am Dave, joined by the number two to my number one, Ryan.
That's solid.
Or runny, however you want to do. But we are Movies On Up. This week's episode, most disappointing horror sequels. Our tagline, we dare you again. If you know what that tagline is from, hit us up at Movies On Up on Twitter, facebook.com/moviesonup, moviesonup@gmail.com, or moviesonup.com. So this week, we weren't going to do two episodes. We were going to watch Halloween 3 and do the most disappointing horror sequels.
Which is kind of the reason we were going to do this list.
But life got in the way. Only one episode this week, but that means three episodes next week.
Hooray! And one of them is about Halloween 3.
Yeah, spoiler alert. So there's a lot of horror franchises, a lot of sequels, not a lot of good sequels. So this week's list was kind of easy idea to come up with. But before we get to the list,
we do have five good ones that are sequels.
It's time for our top five horror number twos. Number five, Ginger Snaps 2. Number four, The Devil's Reject. Rejects.
Yes, it is plural.
Number three, Friday the 13th, Part 2. Number two, Dawn of the Dead. And number one, Aliens.
Those shouldn't come. I think at least number one and number two should not come as surprises to anyone.
No.
Because we talk about those a lot.
The other three were pretty much, what twos do we
not hate?
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this one I actually, there were a couple that came to mind. There are some obvious ones.
For the bad twos now.
Not even just twos, it's sequels.
Yeah, sure. I'm just looking at my list and the first two I have are twos.
So I came up with over a dozen and then had to pare them down to five. So if there's any crossover, I got plenty of fallbacks or lots of honorable mentions. So Ryan, enough talking about the list. Let's get to the list. Your number five most disappointing horror sequel.
It is a relatively recent horror sequel. It comes from 2010. It is Hatchet 2. I loved the first Hatchet, and maybe this is why I don't like the second one, because it just didn't quite live up to the expectations that the first one created. Lots of original people from the first one back in the sequel. Adam Green, the director, Danielle Harris, Kane Hodder, Tony Todd shows up. What I loved about the first one is it showed an awful lot of promise. The second one showed exactly what the first one showed. It just didn't add anything to it. And, you know, even if I like it the first time around, it doesn't mean that if you showed me the exact same thing the second time, that I'm willing to sit through that. And I think that horror movies and their sequels seem to kind of fall into this trap where you have a killer and the killer gets resurrected to rehash the same exact crap. One of the things that I loved about the first Hatchet was it did seem like a throwback to 80s horror in almost every way, with the practical effects and plenty of other things in that movie. Hatchet 2 seemed like a throwback to the bad horror sequels of the 80s, where they were just cash grabs. You can look at some of the most beloved franchises, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, the Friday series. You know, a lot of those did kind of become just rehashes, blind grabs for cash, and hoping to capitalize off whatever momentum you got from what in Hatchet was a pretty refreshing movie. This not refreshing at all, so it is my number five.
This was our first crossover, so I had eliminated it from my list and replaced it. The first one was a lot of fun.
Yes.
The first one, I didn't like how it was marketed, but the movie was fun. And I like Adam Green as a director. I really like Spiral. I really like the first Hatchet, and I really love Frozen. So, I mean, he's got a lot there and a lot of potential, but I was just disappointed with Hatchet 2, and I don't even think I finished it just because it was nothing. There was nothing there to keep me watching it.
And there's nothing. I mean, I think the third one is now available on DVD now. And the second one was so bad that I really am not tripping over myself to go see Hatchet 3.
I'll skip
3.
It.
I'll still see it.
Because even the trailer didn't look
idiot.
Good. I agree with Hatchet 2.
Daniel Harris may show up later.
Number five, I personally would think I'd put it number one. But part of me thinks I maybe need to revisit this because I seem to be the only one that doesn't like it. It has a lot going for it that I should like, but I just didn't. And I don't know if I had made up my mind that I wouldn't like it before I saw it. It is the sequel to probably my favorite movie ever, 28 Weeks Later. Robert Carlyle, Rose Byrne, Jeremy Renner, Harold Perrineau, Catherine McCormick, Idris Elba, Imogen Poots, McIntosh Buggleton. Like, I love that cast.
Is that a guy from Harry Potter, or did you just make that up?
That's actually the kids in that movie were Imogen Poots and Macintosh Muggleton. So
I'm calling shenanigans on that right now.
I love the first one so much. And the second one, I mean, there's cool stuff. I like the helicopter scene. I like Renner and Elba, and I love Rose Byrne, but just the movie just felt flat. Like, it didn't have anything that made me love the first one so much.
It was very, I thought it was very different than the first movie. It was, I got a sense of isolation in the first movie, and I never really got that in the second one. Maybe it's because it kind of started more.
It was essentially an outbreak again, where the first one was the how to survive after an outbreak, where this one was kind of the outbreak happening. So it lost any of that emotional connection. Like, I didn't care about Poots and Muggleton's mom, or that Robert Carlyle. Like, I don't like convenient zombies. Like, oh, they just happen to be alone in an alleyway with their zombified dad. Like, that is lame to me. And that, it came off so, like, it was just trying so hard to take the good, quote unquote, zombie parts of the first one, because we're not going to have that, the
whether
infected
it's zombie,
parts. Yeah. It's like they just took the good infected parts from the first one and wanted to just build a movie around that, when that's not what made the first movie so good. The cast was good. Like I said, I like the helicopter part, but for some reason, I kind of feel like I need to revisit this, because I don't know if I just decided ahead of time I was going to dislike it. But, like, thinking back at it and talking on it now, like, I think I still might be the same.
I don't love 28 Days Later nearly as much as you do. I like it. I think it's a good movie. And I'll agree with you that I don't think this is as good as the second one, but I don't think it's bad at all. I mean, I don't know if it was on TV relatively recently, but I did kind of sit through the whole thing again, and I had kind of forgotten about Jeremy Renner in the movie. And I thought he was, you know, used pretty well. I liked a lot of the things that were done in this. It's probably, I don't think I would argue and want to take out anything from our top five horror number twos, but I definitely think it's closer to being on that list than it is being on this one.
I think it's one of those I'm too,
you're too close to the first one,
and
that's fine.
Which doesn't happen a lot for me, because I generally don't care. I didn't like this
movie. You generally hate everything.
I do.
Yeah, and I generally like everything, which is why this list is so hard for me. But it really wasn't hard for me to put my number four on here. It is a little bit older. It's from 1977. It is also a number two, and boy, is it. It is The Exorcist II, The Heretic, directed by John Borman, starring Linda Blair, Richard Burton, Louise Fletcher, and Max von Sydow. Let me start by saying something positive about this movie. Linda Blair gets kind of hot. I'm positive about that. Everything else completely takes a dump. One of the things that I liked so much about the original was the character of Father Marin, and how he starts off as devout as you can be, and then through this encounter with a demon, he kind of starts to lose his faith a little bit. And not to mention some really disturbing things done by a younger Linda Blair. This one takes all of that and throws it away. At no point do you see any kind of a troubled Catholic figure. You get the Vulcan mind meld, essentially, is how this movie is built. And it kind of starts almost literally by saying that you've just wasted your time with one of the greatest horror movies ever, because the exorcism in The Exorcist didn't take. The demon's still in there. So one of the best horror movies of all time doesn't really mean anything. And it's like, oh, well, let's pick up in number two and make it better. And, oh, God, it's awful.
Plus her having, like, almost, like, clairvoyant powers and stuff. Like, she got, like, a spider sense, kind of.
Yes.
It's funny, because you had Hatchet 2, and I replaced that on my list so we wouldn't have crossover with Exorcist 2.
Oops.
It's just another one of those that it dumbs down the first one. And that's where I'm worried about Insidious 2. Like, I didn't see Insidious 2, but that's my biggest beef with it right out of the gate, is that does it ruin the ending of that first one? I don't like when they do that, and I've never been one that, like, oh, a sequel doesn't make the original any less. But when you mess with the story, you're kind of trying to, and that's what The Exorcist did.
Which was a perfect story, kind of. I think we've, the past couple weeks, thrown around, especially the Carpenter episode, oh, this is a perfect horror movie. This is a perfect horror movie. I mean, Exorcist, if it's not perfect, it's pretty close. And not only did they not make a, they tamper with a perfect horror movie in two, they didn't even come anywhere near it.
No, and they took away everything that was good about the first one. And that's what happens so many times, is that they just eliminate what people loved about the first one and just try to cash in on names. So,
jerks.
Yeah, I'm with you on Exorcist 2. Another one, this is a weird one. It's the third one. It's our first third one. It is Ginger Snaps back. I love Ginger Snaps. The tying in with a woman, a teenage girl becoming a werewolf, tying that in with her getting her first period, like, I thought that was brilliant. What it did with, like, how awkward high school girls can be, I thought it was great. The second one, completely different movie, took it in a completely different direction, still very werewolf heavy, and I liked it a lot. Like, it was a completely...
Is your number five top horror number two of all time?
Yeah. Yeah, it's still a really good, although Final Destination 2 should be up there in hindsight. But I really liked what they did with the second one. And they even set it up to continue that storyline. Like, in a way, spoiler, I don't want to spoil the end of this movie.
You almost did.
Yeah, but I mean, you could star Ghost in the third one and keep going with that storyline. But instead, for the third one, they did Ginger Snaps Back, the beginning, and just took these two sisters and
is
made
this
them
the one that took place in like the Revolutionary War time period, or they
before
have there's like a
that,
fort or
yeah,
something.
It takes them back to olden times, and there's witchcraft involved. The werewolves are still there, but they're not as prevalent of a part as they were. And it's just like, why are these exact two same sisters? Like, it just didn't make any sense. I don't know. The first one was good. The second one was good, but it was a completely different movie. I wish they'd have gone somewhere else with the third one instead of back in time.
And this may be another case where I like the Ginger Snaps franchise. I'll watch it, whatever. Sure, that's cool. This one was probably a case of managed expectations. I caught it on a Saturday afternoon on the Sci-Fi Channel, and if you're familiar with that time slot, you're expecting some real garbage. And this, I didn't think was real garbage. It's not nearly as good as the first two, but for your Saturday afternoon sci-fi fare, it's not so bad. So, like, again, oh god, I'm not even gonna say it. It's closer to being on the top five number twos than the bottom. I'm not anywhere, and it's not a number two. It's number three. But no, it's bad. But I kind of enjoyed it. That's about all I'll say. Did not enjoy my number three. I suspect this might be crossover too. I think my list kind of started to take shape when I thought, all right, what are horror movies that I really like? And they all have bad sequels. So it's like, well, okay, just pick the worst sequel. And sometimes that was hard. No place was it harder than here, picking between the Jaws sequels. I went with Jaws 4, The Revenge from 1987, starring Lorraine Gray, Lance Guest, Mario Van Peebles, and Michael Caine. Yeah, Michael Caine was in this Joseph Sargent piece of crap. Again, imagine everything that was good about Jaws. The simplicity of it, the score, how the shark was not, you didn't get beat over the head with it. Very similar things that we said about Halloween. How, you know, it is just a guy in a mask with a knife. It's not effects heavy. And really, Jaws wasn't all that much either. Now, you take everything, again, you like about the first one, and you, in this case, you ratchet it up. You try and say, well, you liked that. You liked this. So let's just give you more of what you liked. And it just doesn't work. The score, everybody knows the Jaws score, but it becomes way, way overbearing in this one. And you have the shark on the screen way too much. I think one of the reasons that, you know, we were so afraid of Jaws is because in the first one, you didn't see him that much. You know, it was kind of lurking there, always beneath the surface, and he never quite knew. This one, you can't be afraid because you see it all the time. You know where it's at all the time. And speaking of things you don't see Brody in this one because he died of a heart attack because he's afraid of sharks, which I guess is a lesson that his family, his son, should have learned, and maybe he wouldn't have been eaten. Spoiler alert right at the beginning of the movie.
See, I think you left out the worst part. This was actually my number one, but I'm readjusting my list, and I'm going to take it off. You
should not have let me go first.
The shark hunts them down to the Bahamas. That's the worst, like, that's the setup of this movie. is Brody's dead, so his family flees to the Bahamas to try to get away from this shark that's been hunting the family. But what do you know? That shark is now in the Bahamas. Not just another killer shark. That shark hunted them down.
And
just the tagline. It is Jaws 4, the revenge. Yeah. The tagline, this time, it's personal. It's a shark! It's a shark! Who said this is a good idea?
You're right, but what's... I mean, the difference between
even
that,
Melvin Van Peebles looks at this and says, oh, this is stupid.
Melvin Van Peebles was in it with Mario. They were both in it. Two Van Peebles for the price of one. But even, like, in the third one, and I almost picked the third one because it's crap, too. But isn't it Brody's kids work at, like, SeaWorld or something?
Yeah.
And the shark hunts them down at SeaWorld.
Yeah.
So I guess, to me, by the time we get to the fourth, I'm used to a shark wanting to seek revenge on an entire family for killing another shark. I don't know. It is ridiculous. And it does suck. They both suck. So there's really, you know, whether you pick...
Jaws 2 isn't great.
No. But it's not as bad as these two. Jaws 3 and 4 make 2 look like 1.
Yeah. Jaws 2 is passable. 3 and 4,
Not passable.
No.
So what is your new number 3?
My new number 3. A movie that I love the first one. And it's not so much that I dislike this. I still enjoy the second one, but not as much. And it just felt like a lot of the same. Fright Night 2. I loved the first one so much, but felt it should have just been done there. The second one lacked the fun of the first one. It just lacked everything that I liked about the first one. As a standalone vampire movie, maybe it's more enjoyable, but coming after Fright Night, it wasn't Fright Night.
I'm kind of glad you bring this one up because I believe I was perusing the video aisle this past weekend, and there's a new Fright Night 2.
There's a Fright Night 2
yes.
based on the Fright Night remake, but starring nobody from the Fright Night remake.
Which I suspect is not going to be good.
No.
I'm going out on a limb here, but at the same time, I'll see it. Whatever.
I might. See, I tried to, we usually go over how we do our list, because this list could have been longer. I cut out, like, stuff that were just sequels by name only. Like, say, Carrie 2, The Rage.
Yeah.
I eliminated that because it's not really... What does it have to do with Carrie other than the name?
Yeah. Well, she was a half-sister
It was
something.
Essentially a remake.
Like, yeah.
A reboot.
Yeah.
So, like that. And then any direct-to-DVD, like, sequels later on. Even, like, Lost Boys 2 I didn't do because I tried to keep it with sequels that came when the franchises were still relevant.
I think that for the most part, all of mine work for that. Like The Lost Boys 2 was crap. Carrie 2 was crap. But I think that I didn't love The Lost Boys. It was okay. I like it. I'll watch it. Carrie might be a different story. That's a really good horror movie. And that probably could have fit my list of taking things that I absolutely love and then bastardizing them, which happens in my number 2 from 1997. Directed by Jean-Pierre Jeunet, starring Sigourney Weaver, Winona Ryder, Dominique Pignon, Ron Perlman, Alien Resurrection. Alien 3 was this close to showing up on the list. But then I thought, Alien 3, you should thank Alien Resurrection for making you look pretty good. I will give Alien 3 credit. I think the ending was pretty decent.
Yeah, I agree with that point. I'll come back to I'll let you do your thing.
But the problem that I have with this one from Jump Street is they were like, all right, well, we kind of wrap this franchise up.
Forget about that.
Yep, we're going to completely, like, tear the stitches out, and, oh, no, it's going again. Whether you like it or not, it is going again. Of all the horror franchises that have been, like, Pet Sematary, like, brought back from the dead, and sometimes, as Herman Munster said, dead is better, this one is kind of like, it felt the most like a cash grab. I think that Alien 3 was very akin to Alien, more so than Alien. Kind of got back to its roots there. I kind of felt like this one, they were like, oh, well, let's just do that with aliens, except let's be really awful and add alien sex, but not the good kind of alien sex, like the species kind, just the weird, creepy, I'm expecting somebody to, like, get cut with a knife kind of alien sex. Which I'm not into.
Three, I don't dislike 3 as much as you do. Three, well, I thought,
I'm not the only one that hates it. The director hated it,
too. I understand
it too.
That, but I thought 3 was passable.
Passable, yeah.
I thought it was passable as a movie. I thought it was a great closer to the series. They yeah. wrapped it up, but then you just eliminate that.
Yes.
Like, you had a really good ending to the story, and then you negate that. Just like Terminator 3. Like, Terminator 2, people revere yeah. is so good, and the ending, then you eliminate that with Terminator 3. So, I don't hate it as much, but I'm not going to argue that it doesn't deserve to be on this list because it's not Alien or Aliens. Like,
yes.
that, as far as a 1-2 goes, like, that's one of the better, the Alien franchise is up there with the two are just as quality as the first two are same quality. So, I won't argue that it doesn't belong there, but it's just, it's total cash grab, like you said. My list is all jacked up. This was one of my honorable mentions, then my second number 3, and then I jumped it to number 2 when my number 1 was taken care of and replaced it with a new number 3. So my number 2, franchise I'm not even that into, but the first one was good, second one wasn't bad, and then Child's Play 3 was terrible.
The Military Academy, right?
The Military yeah. Academy. You have your lead character, it's Justin Whalen playing Andy, from the first movie, so whiny and so annoying, and this is before, like, Chucky became, like, Seed of Chucky, where Chucky was the star of these movies,
yeah.
and this is when Chucky was still supposed to be, like, the bad guy, but Justin Whalen is so terrible that you kind of just want Chucky to
kill
end
him.
It. Yeah, and it's just so bad. It's when Chucky always had that sense of humor, but it kind of notched it up a little bit and just got even more ridiculous, and it just was not good. And it kind of led to where the franchise just became a farce of itself.
Yeah, and I think having it being at a military school when there's access to weapons, like, it really becomes kind of silly. Like, how in the hell are you going to get, you know, wasted by this little doll when you've got access to automatic weapons?
Plus, the whole point
the movie
of, like,
sucked.
The first two was that he wanted to, like, he was after
his soul needed to get out of that body.
Yeah, he was after Andy because he's a young kid. He
yeah.
wanted to take over the body. And now, you know, Justin Whalen steps in to play Andy in the third one because I guess Alex Vincent was too busy. But he's now, like, almost an adult. Why are you wanting his body now? So it just didn't make sense to go
Chucky, the revenge.
I feel it screwed up the canon of the whole Child's Play mythology.
Well, that got all jacked up even with the later ones. And I know you're saying that completely tongue-in-cheek. But yeah, I this might be the first time I straight up agree with you and say, yes, that one sucked. I probably could have been on my list, but it's not.
Before you say anything, I'm almost 100% positive our number one is a crossover.
I was going to tell you.
And I'm not going to change it.
No,
because we can rant on this movie for a long time.
And I think we will. It is from 2011. Directed by a man whose name I cannot say, but I'm going to try because he deserves it. Matthias von Heinigen Jr. Starring the lovely and talented pod favorite Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Starring pod favorite Joel Edgerton. It is The Thing.
I was wrong.
You were wrong. Okay,
well,
great. I love another movie I can rant about. I usually write a little bit about the movies and what I want to say, and I stopped at damn it. That's just all I wrote, because damn it. I love The Thing so much. When they announced that there was going to be a sequel or prequel or
reboot,
whatever,
or remake,
yeah, whatever you want to call it, I didn't care. I was like, this was going to be the greatest thing ever. I bought in 100%. There were people attached. Ronald Moore was attached for a long time as a writer. He wrote the new Battlestar Galactica series, which I liked. So, you know, two of my favorite things being put together, this is going to be great. Turns out not so much, and Ronald Moore's didn't last very long on there. I was let down worse by this than I was, like, Phantom Menace, and it's not even close. It really didn't add anything new. It seemed very much like a reboot, but it was still positioned as a sequel. What it did add,
as a prequel,
the thing that it did add was the CG effects, and that just made everything crap. that was the one thing that I thought really could be updated and could have been done better. And I'm one of those nerds. It was like, yeah, I'd like to see what happened to the Norwegians. That would be great. It turns out, no. I didn't care. It's the exact same thing that happened to the Americans, who were all, I mean, with the exception of Mary Elizabeth Winstead was fine. She couldn't really do too much. And I liked Edgerton.
Yeah, no.
But nobody else I care about. They were just disposable characters. And, you know, in the thing, maybe it's because I've seen it 100 times, but I know Childs. I know Windows. I know these dudes.
They weren't written as disposable characters.
Right.
So when they died, it meant something.
Yeah. Fuchs. I know that guy too. Know them all.
This was so terrible because they couldn't commit to one thing. Like, people didn't want to see a remake. And I think they bought into that remake backlash. And I think they said, oh, well, it's not a remake. It's a prequel.
Yeah.
But for it to be a prequel, it needs to feel like it took place before the first one.
It feels like it took place.
It felt modern day.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I mean, really, in terms of the timeline, I mean, we're talking about a couple days before.
Yeah, but if you want to make it a prequel, I know they tried to throw nods into the original, like how things ended up where they were, but not enough. Like, there wasn't enough. Or maybe it's just that it was so bad that I didn't care.
I think that's it.
Because it felt like nobody tried anything. Like, the characters were not good. Like, even Winstead and Edgerton, like, I love them as actors. They didn't do anything here. Like, generally, like, Edgerton can take a bad script and make his performance worth watching. Winstead is capable of it. I don't even think they were able to do that. I think the script was so bad that there was nothing they could save. And it went nowhere. It was a remake. I mean, it was, because, okay, you tell me it's a prequel, I know everybody's going to die.
Yeah.
So, like, just position it as, just reboot it. If that's what you want to do, because if this was a good movie and this did have success, you know they want to continue that franchise.
And they could have. The way Carpenter's was left, you know, you could have continued. You could have made this a sequel. Or, like what you're saying, they could have rebooted it instead of already having a reboot done and just saying, oh, well, no, this takes place like a week before. So it's really technically a prequel.
If anything, make it a sequel that takes place this many years later.
The thing gets frozen in the ice. Guess
yes.
what? That's what happened to begin with.
Yes.
I'd buy
so
it.
Go into with that mindset, not because it didn't feel like it took place in the past. It felt very modern. Were they supposed to be Norwegians? I don't like.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Joel Edgerton were not, but everybody else in the movie, I got that. They're Norwegian.
But the people we didn't care about.
Right.
So just so many bad things about this movie. And just make it a remake. Like, they were so worried about making a bad remake that they danced
they
around
made a bad
it and
prequel.
Made it even worse. So, yeah, this I left off for whatever reason because I guess I didn't.
Because maybe you knew I was going to do it. And they call it the same damn thing, too.
The exact same
yes,
thing.
Yes, I'm afraid that there's going to be somebody out there that hears this podcast and does not know the thing from anything. And they're like, oh, this kid Ryan really likes this movie, The Thing. I'm going to go see it. And they're going to check out 2011 and be like, this guy's an idiot. This movie sucks. Please, if you're that person, no, don't watch this one because it isn't any good. You got to go back to the 80s.
Speaking of not any good, this I swore would be on your list. It kind of goes against, not really, doesn't really go against what I said earlier about a sequel that came after the relevance because a sequel to the actual movie would have been awesome, I think. But this sequel, no. But it falls in line with, you know, we talked Halloween 3 is going to be a discussion episode. What was it? Friday 4, the one without Jason. Mental Institution.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was 5.
Yeah, 5. So you had these movies where they just take away what people like about them and still dub it a sequel. Well, that happened with 2000's Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2. Do you want to tell me any way, any possible, fathomable way that this Book of Shadows movie should have the Blair Witch name on it?
I said the word cash grab a while ago, and you're right. That's all this was. Let's capitalize off the Blair Witch. We don't have anything to... We have no product. We have a name. that we can trick people into paying to see.
Here's the worst part about it. The first one was so good and so groundbreaking that people would have seen that again. If you take another crew to find those bodies or find out what happened, or just a group of high school kids on a dare, anything like that, you can amp up what made the first one great. Like, you could just magnify it. Because the first one, the scares were very few and far between, but they worked. So you could just turn that up to 11 and make a Blair Witch 2 that's relevant to the first one. But what they did was they wanted to make three of them. So the ones that they were going to, that made the first one, they were going to have them make the third one that is pretty much what the second one should have been, and then gave Joe Berenger the second one to do whatever this was with it. And it did so bad and was such a miserable failure that they scrapped the third one, which is what people wanted to see.
Yeah.
So I don't understand it. You throw Blair Witch on a movie that has nothing to do with Blair Witch, and then that kills the sequel to Blair Witch that people would have wanted to see. So how does any of that make sense?
None of it does. I think it's just arrogance on the part of the people that wanted to make this movie, thinking that, well, you're going to buy this and you'll like it because, you know, what we brought to the table with the first one is so groundbreaking. We can't possibly fail. And they did, and they failed miserably. This is an awful movie. I could see it very easily occupying a place on my list. I like Blair Witch a lot. I don't know that I like it more than The Exorcist or Jaws or Alien, or definitely not The Thing. But as a horror sequel, if you want to even call this a sequel.
That's why it almost...
Yeah, it's crap.
It's hard to call it a sequel. Even if you read the plot synopsis on IMDb, college students at a Boston college become fascinated by the events of the three missing filmmakers in Maryland, so they decide to go into the same woods and find out what really happened. I want to see that movie. Where is it? It wasn't this. They're in a cabin, scared of a book the whole time. At no point is it the same movie. Like, even with Blair Witch 2, you could do anything with it. Even if you take away the found footage and do a straight-up narrative story, you do another found footage like Paranormal Activity did. That's worked out for them. Like, there was so many things you could do, and only one thing you shouldn't do, and that's what they did. And it makes me angry.
I understand.
I would have loved to see a Blair Witch 2. I really would have. Even now, I would like to see a proper Blair Witch sequel.
I don't think anymore I can sign off on horror sequels. After kind of looking through, there were so many horror sequels that were bad. I don't have a Halloween sequel on there, and most of those are garbage.
We left Halloween 3 off because that was going to be our episode.
Yeah, we were going to talk about it.
We left Friday 5 off.
You very easily could have said Halloween 5 was crap. A lot of people think that's worse than 3.
So Paul Rudd's best work. Is that Paul Rudd?
Yes.
4 or 5?
I think that was 5. A lot of people, you know, even Nightmare 2, people think is garbage.
It was.
I don't have any of those on my list. Horror sequels, I think, more often than not, are not good. I don't know if it's just because of the genre. It lends itself to, if it's good, you can do a very good one-off. But I think it's harder to follow up a horror movie than it is almost anything else.
Well, here's where...
Harder to be good.
Like, look at what our number 2 was. Dawn of the Dead is technically a Night of the Living Dead sequel.
Yeah.
Is it really related to the first one in any other way other than it's zombies?
No, not really.
There's nothing tying the two together other than they're zombies. And they're both really good movies. That's where something like Final Destination came. I like the second one. The second one, I think, is a ton of fun. I think the second one really is what that franchise should have been, because it was fun and still okay enough to enjoy. But yet they tried to tie it into the first one. Didn't need to be. Kids escape death. Death comes after them. That's all you need. I don't need them. I don't need an ongoing arc to tie them together for this kind of movie. I just don't.
I do think sometimes, you know, maybe that's the problem, is you try and pull at a string and relate things, not just, you know, I guess we complain when it's not really related, like the Blair Witch sequel wasn't really related. But then when you try and force that relation, like with Alien Resurrection, like you try and pull that thread, that's pretty crappy too. I mean, they could have had, in theory, there could have been, oh, we just forgot about this one alien, you know, egg that was somewhere.
Yeah,
you could have done that.
Get rid of Ripley.
Yeah, exactly.
Reboot the franchise with a new hero.
Like, yeah, don't literally. It's in the damn name of the movie. Don't resurrect her.
Yeah, so I know it's kind of contradictory because, yeah, Hatchet 2, we felt like was just trying to be the same thing, and then Blair Witch was just too different. But there is a way to do it. Like, I thought, you know, Nightmare 2 was bad, but I thought the rest were good. I mean, Final Nightmare was a little weak, but, I mean, you took the formula and you made it work, and it was different enough each time. And that worked. But now they either don't try hard enough or they try too hard, and it just doesn't work.
I don't know. I think just I'm going to just become one of those guys that I expect nothing from a horror sequel. I'll expect it to be awful. And if it's anything other than that, all right, fine. I mean, I know, like, I love the Friday franchise and not the Ice Cube one. I know 8, people hate 8. People hate Jason X. People hate Jason Goes to Hell. I think those are fine. I mean, they're I'll watch them. I'll enjoy them. They're not good, and I won't argue. I might argue a little bit on maybe Jason Goes to Hell. But if somebody wants to tell me how bad Jason Takes Manhattan is, I'll probably say, yeah, you're kind of right.
It's bad. It's still fun.
Yeah, but
it still has what I like from the rest of the franchise in it.
And if you want to do that, that's fine. But I guess I didn't think that by that point, Friday 7 wasn't very good, and neither I like 6, but I guess it just feels like if you go, like in the case of Hatchet 2, coming off the heels of something that I loved, going to something that I hate, kind of sucks. But if you sort of like get me used to over time that this franchise is eroding, then I won't care, and I won't put any of your movies on this list.
Yeah, so did you have any honorable mention that we didn't get to?
Almost every horror sequel, you know what I mean? Like, there's 4 or 5 Halloween, like, yeah, I could easily say Halloween 5 is garbage. There was a Halloween movie with Busta Rhymes in it that I didn't mention.
H2O or Resurrection? It was one
yeah,
of those.
I think, yeah. It was the reality show one.
I think that was Resurrection.
Yeah, you might be right. What the hell? But that didn't make my list. A Halloween movie with Busta Rhymes didn't make the list. No, what's honorable mention? I feel like that's also a shame list.
But I had Poltergeist 2.
Yeah, that sucked.
Because that's another one of like, yo, the Indian burial ground in the first one is causing all this. Oh no, there's more buried underneath that. So it's just another one of those, how far can we reach? And then Poltergeist 3, even worse because it's like they're hunting them now. Yeah.
Like Jaws.
Yeah.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre probably deserved an entry in there somewhere.
Yeah, because 2 was, I mean, 2 has its like cult status.
Yes.
Because that's another one where that's a completely
different
movie. That's why I didn't add it. Like, you could say what you will about that movie, but I don't. It's a completely different movie, but it was enough the same, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, it had enough of. And I did. It was like Ginger Snaps and Ginger Snaps 2. But this pretty much summed up early 90s horror movie with these two, The Ring 2 and The Grudge 2. They were fairly successful Japanese remakes. So we're just going to remake them again with just different characters. And that's all it was. That's all The Ring 2 was. That's all The Grudge 2 was just cash grabs, 100%. So I counted those. That's all of my 14 that I had, I think.
Yeah. There are a lot. I'm sure everyone, this would be one of the ones where you could probably ask 10 people, what's your least, the one you hate the most? And you probably get 10 different answers. I mean, you know, you were pretty sure, and I guess I was pretty sure too, that we'd both have crossover on our number one, and we didn't. We had crossover like everywhere else though. But yeah, so I'm interested. Let us know what your least favorite horror movie is, what one really gets your goat, so to speak. moviesonup@gmail.com, or you know, if it's pretty simple, you can just tweet it directly at Dave at moviesonup, or put it on our Facebook page too. We can do some Facebook love over at facebook.com/moviesonup. Those were bad movies that we don't think at any point you should sit down and watch, but it is October. We are trying to give you 31 movies this month that we do think is worth your watch. So, David, why don't you give the guys and ladies out there something that is good from the horror realm?
I'm going to go 2. I'm going to keep it on the farm for both of them. One, we've talked about it a lot. It is Black Sheep from a few years ago, not the Chris Farley one. Just the movie about zombified sheep from, I believe it was it New Zealand?
Yeah, I think so.
A fantastic movie. And now that I say that, it might actually show up in one of our discussion episodes later this month. But it's just such a fun movie. It's the right mix of comedy, horror, and actually caring about the characters. And then also on a farm, we go from killer sheep to a killer mutated cow fetus. It's a movie I've mentioned a couple times, Isolation. It's a little, believe, Scottish film that's really dark and really, really intense, but really worth a watch.
I'm going to give you kind of split the difference between our two lists this week. I'll give you a number two that I like that is followed up by a number three that I don't like. One of my favorite horror movies of all time, Dario Argento's Suspiria from 1977. His follow-up in 1980, Inferno, very similar to Suspiria. You could almost be convinced that they are the same movie, except instead of taking place in Germany, I believe this one takes place largely in Rome and in a little bit in New York as well. Followed up by the some 22, 23 years later, probably even more than that, by The Mother of Tears, which is crap. Don't watch that, but at least check out Suspiria and Inferno. I mean, obviously, I like Argento quite a bit. This, as a follow-up to one of the best of all time, does kind of fall short, but you don't have to have seen Suspiria to see and enjoy this. You're probably better off if you've never seen Suspiria. Then you don't know any better. But it is a sequel, but it is, maybe it's just the entire storyline between the three is so strange and very loosely bound anyway that you can get away with not knowing that it's the middle of a trilogy. It'd be just fine.
We're sorry about the one episode this week, but I'm under the weather and it's been a long day, so we're pushing that off. So next week you'll have Halloween 3. We're also going to watch Trick or Treat from a couple of years ago. Awesome horror anthology movie. And this one is going to be interesting. And Jason West, feel free to send in a list. Anybody send in a list, because this one will be fun. Not favorite horror anthology movies, favorite vignette from a horror anthology movie.
A story from
a
one of the
single story from.
Yes.
So send that in, because that'll be a fun one. The vignette would be, or
anthologies
would almost be too easy. Yeah. A lot of crossover. So this one will be really interesting, and we'd love to get some listener.
Maybe I'll have something from Trick or Treat on there. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe I'll have Gargoyle starring Radon Chong on there.
Perhaps.
Spoiler, I totally
She's
will.
A gargoyle.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's next week. Until then, you can find me on Twitter at Dave Bacella, DaveBacella.com. My other show, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave, just came back this week. So you can find that at EricandDave.com. That's Eric with a K.
Don't call it a comeback.
You can, though, because we were gone for months. And, EricandDave.com, Eric with a K. So check that out if you want the complete opposite kind of show of this.
I would say it's complete opposite. I mean, that would indicate that it's bad. It's not bad.
It's unorganized.
Well.
There's no point.
Well.
There's no flow.
So what you're saying is, boy, you guys should really not listen to Eric and Dave. I was trying to help you out.
Eh.
I don't care if you do or not. Whatever. I'm not on it, so don't listen to it.
So until next week, keep it up.